Oh, man, I can see our opening scripture is going to be before and after huggy break today. That's okay. That's okay. We go with the flow. That's what I love. It's never the same 2 weeks in a row. And if you come thinking it is, you got to readjust your thinking. So, praise the Lord. Anyone else? We good? All righty. Let's go with it. Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13. You might recognize this from other times that you've spent in Psalms, but it's also on the list of our words teaching. And I just hadn't got that far into it yet. And this rang really strong today in my spirit. And I said, oh, we got to go with this, because there are two verses, but they're very powerful and they're connected. Verse 12 says, what man is he that desires life and loves many days that he may see good? So if I were to ask you, how many desire life? Can we get any hands in the house? Y'all don't want to live a while longer? Okay, because if not, we can carry you out the back, and that'll be that. there's a ramp out there. How many love many days? You want to live a nice, long life for the Lord? That be all of you, probably? And how many desire to see good? Okay, so the consensus in the house is, with a majority, that... This is a good scripture to talk about today, because this connects people right to, well, of course I'd want all of those things, but I know some that don't, and you probably do too, because maybe they haven't thought about it from the life coming from a Christian perspective. And then verse 13 says, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. So they get us all puffed up into getting us looking at this, well, actually, Jesus called it a more abundant life. But it's connected to our words. And this I want to show you. It caused me to ponder the first part. Who desires and wants to live? We just settled that. Who wants to live a long life? Who eagerly looks forward to each new day God provides for us and to purpose to see the good in each day? What does that look like? So I sat there just meditating on it and thinking about it. And one of the first verses that connected in my spirit was John 10:10. Experiencing the more abundant life Jesus promised, because that's exactly what God's answer is to verse 12. Desire life, love many days, and see good. Those are all wonderful, hopeful times for the believer. But a lot of times, it doesn't happen. Sometimes we wonder why. And we'll get to that in a little bit. Not just yet. The more abundant life Jesus promised, John 10:10. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I am come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So what we're desiring is not something that the Lord hasn't provided. And that's how a lot of times he gives us the desires of our heart. But if we're in a healthy, good relationship with the Lord, we wouldn't ask for things that would be wrong desires, really, because we have the mind of the Spirit, the Bible says. And when the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and speaks to us, there's very little risk, if you will, of asking for something that God hasn't already provided, because as believers, we're of the same spirit as our Father. We're connected. There's a oneness there. And so, as I was coming down through this, I was thinking about those three questions that were in that first verse. Because as I read it, it's written in question format. Even whatever Bible translation you have, it's written asking a question. And from God's heart to ours. And the next one, it reminded me of what would that look like to have life and live many long, fruitful, healthy days and see the good in every day. Well, the next thing I was reminded of, Proverbs 3:24. Having sound, restful sleep and without the fear of evil goes a long ways to having a good day, doesn't it? Well, guess what? The Lord promises us that. Proverbs 3:24. Now, we're believers. To the non-believer, this would be really, really hard for them to experience that in the way that we do. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Each one of these questions is answered by the Word. I don't know a lot of people in the faith community that are afraid when they go to bed at night and go to sleep. But I do know some non-believers that's a horrible thought. They can't go to sleep. They lay there and torment and twist and turn and thrash around and think about how bad everything is, and they're just very troubled in their spirit, and they really have a hard time sleeping. But to you and I, to we-uns in the body of Christ, that shouldn't be, because we have an escape clause. All those things you worry about at bedtime, what does the Word say? Cast your cares upon the Lord, for He cares for you. Boom. How long does it take to do that? Father, I just cast them all. You can do that in 5 seconds and then go to sleep. Yes?
But you have to actually do it.
That's right.
Just say it.
Yes. And that's why that word cast, and I like that, casting. Priscilla talks about casting when she goes fishing with her brother. You don't just dangle it in a boat, you cast it. There's an effort involved. And so that's an important part, is to, the reason that we don't need to be afraid is because God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So we have a lot of great advantages that I just kind of wanted to go through this and remind us of today. God has given us such an advantageous life that, of course, before we got saved, we didn't even know. We didn't have any idea that it was real. Eating mushrooms with Alice and I mean, some of us were there. Come on now, you got to give me grace. Maybe that wasn't your issue, but you know, to somebody like me, and I see all these promises, I just get caught up in how wonderful and how good God really is. To look back as a reference point into where we are today, you know, we all have a testimony about our lives. And so, another part of that scripture, those questions, that He may see good. This is a choice also. Seeing the good in the day. A lot of us live one day at a time. We've learned not to make big plans, and sometimes the spontaneity of a moment in the day is the one to go with, because people don't have a chance to say no, they hadn't planned on that question today. Choosing to see the best in others. A religious spirit is going to be the very first thing the enemy's going to try to tempt you. Well, how could you love that person? Look what they did to you. Oh, how can you love that person? Boy, if you would have heard what they said about you. Oh, man, that's the story of life. And we as believers, we've got to live at the upper level of that and not participate in those things. And it's helpful to learn to do these things. 1 John 4:7, the best way to see the best in others is to love them without conditions, without even knowing their story. And we make rash judgments about people sometimes. I mean, we don't even know where they've walked or what their life has been like. And as believers, we've got to live on the upper level of life, if you will. Live in the upstairs apartment. Beloved, 1 John 4:7. Let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. That's the love that we have. It really isn't ours. It's His love in you and me that can love like that. Our love is very emotional in the physical senses, and it's very selfish. We want everybody to conform so that we can love them, so that they can measure up to our expectations. Well, it doesn't work that way. Jesus loves no matter what expectation you have. What if He had that about you? But He doesn't. So this psalm is really, it speaks volumes. Oh, here's another one. Oh, goody, I'm glad I just have two more before we break. Because then afterwards, and we come back, we're going to get part two. Oh, my. A life filled with freedom from bondages and snares of the enemy. Does that sound something appealing to you? How else can you not think of things like that when you meditate a little bit on what man is he that desires life? There's a lot that goes into the life that we have in Christ now that we should desire. Well, these are some of the things that I spent yesterday thinking about, because I didn't have any answers when I first started, and I didn't even, this took all day of just thinking about. It was like God was asking me these questions. Because when I read the Word, that's how He speaks oftentimes. That's Him speaking to us. And when you read it out loud, you put a voice to what He spoke. Do you desire life? Yeah, you all said yes. Well, these are some of the things that you should be expecting along the way. A life filled with freedom from hang-ups. I don't have any problem with drugs anymore. I remember getting, this is on a recording and I don't really care because it might help somebody that might listen to it. My hippy-dippy dope life. Bondage to those things. They kept me down, held me back from being, it robbed me of the best 13 years of my life through my 20s and early 30s. And, but within minutes of asking Jesus to be the Lord of my life, those things were gone. They were broken off my life. And for the first time in many, many, many years, I knew I was free. Never had a desire to go back to those things. I was still young enough to enjoy all that was left of my life, and those things don't have a hold on me anymore. That's part of desiring. Because, see, back before I got saved, I didn't, to desire life would have been like Oh, I got to get up tomorrow and go to work. Probably should smoke a joint with the coffee. That'll make it go better. You know, those things were real. There's a couple others in here that can relate to that too. And maybe that wasn't your whatever kept you back. But for those of us that it was, Jesus made a huge difference in our lives. And I could never tell you that God works miracles if I could stand here and tell you a few along the way of my life. We're connected. We're all connected. God didn't put us here just because we're pretty and the seats are nice. And no, we're all divinely connected by the Lord, every one of us. In the body of Christ, we're all connected with one another. And we have relationships with each other. And it's a beautiful place to know that we can share these truths together. We are speaking truth. And snares of the enemy. He doesn't set a trap for us where we're strong. He looks for weaknesses. He looks for places in our life. Like James says, he goes about as a roaring lion. He didn't say that he was. He said as. I am reading from John 8:36, but I just hadn't read it yet. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I was just getting to the get to it part. A life filled with freedom from bondages and snares of the enemy. How can I say that? Because Jesus himself said these words. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. That's a promise. If he set you free, in different translations, some say, therefore, if the Son has set you free, you shall be free indeed. Or if he makes you free, you'll be free indeed. Because there's no freedom like the freedom that we have in Christ. We don't have to be pressed down, squashed, defeated all the time. We don't have to be living a life looking down. We can live a life looking up. Because those are good days. And those are the things we should desire. But along with that desire, there is a measure of life that Jesus Christ died to give us. And I want to live it to the fullest. I'm not looking for an early checkout. I want to live it to the fullest every day that I have. Because there were times when I didn't think I was going to have another day. It was risky. My only way of repenting is I decided one day I wouldn't do the drug that stopped my heart. I decided I wouldn't do that one anymore. So that's how close it came for me one time. So I can speak very freely and very honest about that. And I believe there'll be an opportunity this week coming that I might include that part of my life, a little bit of it, not to dwell on it, but just to show you along the way. You know, that's why it's a miracle to me that Don and I knew each other when we were little kids. My mother threw us away. I ended up in a foster home. And it just happened to be one of his aunts and uncles that I ended up. And he and I have known each other for 70 years.
And I was in the hippie-dippy years with him, too.
And so I know we bounce off of each other a little bit, you know. But to me, that's a lifetime miracle for me. To have been put in a Christian environment when my mother would just take off and run with whoever was available because my father worked all the time. Us kids saw that. We didn't. You can't not see what your parents are doing. And so when I see these scriptures, I'm seeing them from the lens of what it used to be, B.C., to now what Christ has done and the hope I have, the whole attitude of my life is so profoundly changed. And that's what I bring to you each week. That's why I bounce around here and I lose track of stuff because sometimes I say, what does it matter? You know, there's so many good things in life that sometimes a few things along the way, you got to learn to give people grace. And it's all part of our walk to see many days and to see good. If you want to see good, you got to sow good. Because we reap what we sow. And let me see, did I have one more? Oh, yes, I do. Part of that life that he's talking about prompted me with this, a life filled with God's peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Did you know there's a scripture that talks about those things? So I know it's a promise. I know it's available. I know we have it, but we have to access it. We have to take advantage of what God has already provided and given to walk this walk. And you'll find that in Romans 14:7. Romans 14:17. I'm sorry, I think I said 14:7. That's probably a good one too. But we'll get to it in our study in Romans, maybe by June, I don't know. It says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Oh my, righteousness, right standing with the Lord. How can you buy that? How can you attain that? How can you earn it? How can you work it up? You can't. But you know what? When you've learned that you are, then you can be, and then it happens. You don't have to try to be these things. You already are. You know, we pick up in the course of life, do you find yourself remembering a phrase or a sentence or something somebody said to you along the way in your Christian faith? They said something that meant something to you and you remembered it? What if I said my father told me to tell you that he said you're righteous? You can go with that. We can sing and go home. It's good. My father told me to tell you that. You're righteous. His righteousness. Not by our standards, but his. And he did that through the work of the cross. Well, here we are, seated at the right hand of the Father with Jesus. That's very scriptural. I like that. Gets us out of ourselves, doesn't it? When we really start seeing how God has equipped us, how he's prepared us. We don't have to lift ourselves. I find that he lifts us. And it's better than boost in a can. It's really good to know that not every day is a day maybe that measures up to one's expectations. But sometime during that day, there's an opportunity to just let the Holy Spirit lift you. Lift you up from whatever you're carrying, whatever's, you know, it's not right and maybe need an attitude adjustment or something. I think probably that would be a pretty genuine statement if we would just be honest with ourselves. I hear a smile back there. So this is to set you up for round two of this beautiful scripture from Psalm 34. We talked about things that we would desire in life. And then it almost seems like suddenly it gets squashed. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile. And the reason for that is this. As easily as we can speak God's favor and his blessings over on and everything, there are times when we can undo our future. And it's with our words, because words reproduce themselves. Wherever they're sown, they reproduce. And the companion scripture that I had with this is Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. in the course of my life, I've encountered people along the way that weren't too keen on seeing anything good in anything. Just kind of in a funk. And one of the reasons was because they kept saying it over and over their lives. Yes, Marlene.
I think that's why Zechariah had to be struck dumb, so he would talk himself out of God's miracle. John the Baptist wouldn't get over.
That's very true. Yeah, the Lord didn't want that to happen. Sometimes people can say those things out of their mouths and wreak havoc. Or you get prayed for and walk away and say, well, I didn't feel anything happen. Well, quit feeling and start getting real. It's all connected to our speech. A lot of things are words of life and words of death. And going through that teaching, we've pretty much kind of got that down pretty good now, because we're getting better. We're getting more consistent. Even if I do throw one in every once in a while, because we're still a long ways from the end. James had some interesting things to say about speech. And in fact, he wrote a whole chapter about our words, James chapter 3. But I'm going to be selective in the portion, chapter 3 of James, in verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. And if you were left with only what he said, you could maybe come to the place where, oh my gosh, I really have a problem with this and I don't even know where to start thinking like that, because he seems so radical about our words. He seemed to have an insight that you'll find a lot of scriptures in Proverbs and Psalms both, that God speaks a lot about our speech and about our words. And James, being Jesus' brother, I'm sure he got it put to him a few times in the household, how serious this really can be. And so James says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Now those are some pretty strong words. And it tells me that I've started trying to learn a new way to apply this. When I'm bawling with my new brother, I don't want a lot of the speech around me to get down inside of me. So this is just a personal experience that I've learned to apply, because I don't want to start speaking like they do. You can go to a bar and a bowling alley is not much different. You just have a little fun while you're there. But so I asked the Lord to control my tongue. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. You see there, if you think that you can, all on your own doing, you're being deceived. Or else James is telling a tall tale here. I choose to believe it's true. Because we become like those we hang out with. And even some scriptures in Proverbs talk about being mindful not to hang around with angry people, because we will be drawn to that. And I find it often that it's we who tend to be drawn away rather than the unsaved be drawn away, because they're already part of it. And so if I know ahead of time, it kind of helps me spiritually prepare to go there, because I like the fishing. And I get away with saying things like, when people tell me, oh, Rick, I had a really bad week this week, and they come and tell me now. I'm like grandpa of the bowling alley. There's hardly anybody my age there. I go for the event. And they come and they tell you stuff that they wouldn't tell anybody else, and that's really cool. I've not told anybody what I do. I just let the Spirit work. And suddenly people just start talking. And it's just really neat. But I want to go in there guarded and protected, if you will. Because I haven't arrived yet to where I'm really good at that all the time, every day of the week and every week of the month and every month of the year. But if I can learn some things like this, and I come to realize that it's extremely difficult to control our speech if it's not submitted to the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it's like you have to give a quick answer to somebody, and you don't have time to do that. And so, because I'm in a lot of conversations there with different people, and so I find it very helpful in the parking lot before I go in to just say, Father, I thank you for the words that I'll speak tonight. If anybody has questions or I'm involved in a conversation, I yield my tongue to you now to help me to guard my words. I don't want to say wrong things, but I want to say things that leaves the door open to reach them if they're not saved yet. And sometimes I've noticed I can have a quick answer for something, but sometimes people aren't ready to receive it. And so if it's seasoned by the Spirit, it'll always come across in a right spirit, because we as believers, we can say a lot of stuff and we're really good at it. I mean, a lot of us are word people, and we can be really quick to have a word for somebody, but is it the right time? Did we speak it with the right motive? Did we speak it with the right attitude? What's the point of saying that if there's not something underlying? And the next portion that I wanted to talk about, that's where guile comes in that scripture. We don't talk about that word much. It's an old word. But it means to speak in a way of deception. It means to deceive people, to influence them, to move them in a way that maybe they wouldn't want to go in the natural. To speak words of deception or disguise with the evil motive to mislead or deceive others. And of course the most blatant ones that we all hear a lot are the words of some politicians. They're really good at it. They go to Washington and they come back really changed. Their families don't even know them when they come back, because there's such a spirit over that city. And they get, especially new people that go to Congress, when you're praying for your government, pray for the new ones, because this is a big trap. They go there representing our state, and they go there and suddenly they're in this den of thieves, and there's a spirit of greed, a spirit of power, And they can become very subject to that through the older, more experienced ones that have got the, they've got that down really good, and they've been there 20 years or 30 years, and new people coming in. They are manipulated to get on certain committees. So you got to know this a little bit about your politicians that go there to serve and represent our state. If they want any positions on committees, they get the speech. You got to do this, you got to do this, you got to say this, you got to say that. And all of these things come upon the newer ones. And it can be very overwhelming. It's a whole different world than the state that they left. It's like being in the faith. It's a whole different world than the world that the Lord delivered us out of. And it's always learning. I've learned a lot about words that I never knew before, and how that topic is the most talked about one, the most that God wrote about from the beginning. It was words of the enemy that tempted Eve. It caused her to doubt that God's word was true. Oh, God really didn't. Surely you're not going to die if you eat that. I mean, look at that beautiful tree. And the underlying thing from his side of it is he tries to undermine the credibility of God's word and his will for our lives. He speaks too. And we have to learn to discern what voice we're listening to. And so, because that's going to determine the quality of life that we have, and you might not even think about it sometimes, how important God gave us the way to communicate that he did, and to gain back through Christ all that the first Adam lost. We talked about that. Jesus is the last Adam. And he won back everything that Adam once had. And so in Christ, we're back in Adam again, if you will. And we exercise dominion and authority. And we learn to speak to things. Once again, speech is important. Our words are important. We've learned how to take authority over things. We've learned how to speak the stuff. We're learning more and more how to pray because we're learning to pray the word. So this is really connected to if you love life and you want to live many days. These are all little things along the way, because I was shocked the first time I read that. The answer was right there in the next verse about watching what we speak, because you can undo a promise. Once something has been said, it's good to stay consistent, but it's also better to say the right thing first than to have to undo something and repent for hurting somebody that you didn't mean to. But because as believers, we always want to help somebody. It's just the nature, our new nature. But sometimes we can get careless and say something really flippantly quick and wound somebody. And it can happen just like that, and we don't even realize it. And so we don't want to go overboard with this, but I believe the Holy Spirit is just telling us, be aware, there is so much more in our future. And a lot of it is going to, whether we receive it or not, or benefit by it, is going to be whether we choose to come into agreement with God and his word, so that God is like a prayer partner. If you base your prayer life on the word, and you pray the word, or pray in agreement with the word, that's like coming into agreement with our Father. And so you're speaking or praying from a position of strength, not weakness. So from time to time, as I sense to pop another one in off our list, a lot of you still have copies of that, so you can check off another one. I think that was number 15 on the list, so we still got a ways to go. So keep these things in mind. If we want to see good, we want to live we want to live a good life. These are some things that are going to be helpful along the way. I like it. It's like they're nifty tools that God gave us. His toolbox is not like ours. There's a couple screwdrivers and a hammer in that little drawer back there in case I have to smash something in the house. Haven't had to do that. A few tools, things loosen up, so we need to have God's tools in our toolbox. Lest things get a little too loose and we need to tighten up in some key areas. So leave that with you today, and I just hope that the rest of your day is a really absolutely wonderful day. And does anybody have any prayer needs?